At this time, I want to lift up one verse of scripture from Joshua chapter 6, beginning at verse number 1. I ask that sometime this week you read the entire chapter of Joshua chapter 6 and you'll get the entire context for our message today. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. I want to share this morning from the subject, overcoming life's challenges. Overcoming life's challenges. Jericho was closed for business. It was shut up tighter than a drum, as the saying goes. The children of Israel were encamped around the city, leaving no means for the citizens of Jericho to escape. Jericho was theirs for the taking, or was it? Israel would have to follow God's plan of attack if they wanted victory. My brothers and sisters, life is filled with challenges each and every day. We do our best to navigate through them. And when we seem to be making some progress, COVID-19 hit. During this pandemic, we have been affected by a phrase that has affected us like it never did before. Closed until further notice. The words closed until further notice during a viral pandemic like COVID-19 never conjures up pleasant thoughts. For months, our normal routines have been disturbed. We cannot eat at our favorite restaurants because they are closed. In Richmond alone, over 30 restaurants have closed for good, including Morton's Steakhouse. Men cannot go to the barber shop and women cannot get their hair and nails done because some of the places they frequented are now closed. Men cannot hang out, and women cannot have that regularly scheduled girls' night out, all because the places we used to go are now closed. You cannot spend a day at the mall anymore because most of the stores are closed. You cannot even have a picnic or gathering in your own backyard with friends and family. And it is a bankrupt situation when the activity in a company's shipping and receiving department comes to an abrupt halt. Those of us who order online notice that when you get to the shipping information, there is a disclaimer. Packages may require more time to be delivered due to limited transportation availability as a result of the ongoing COVID-19 impacts. That was the case in Jericho. Nothing could get in and nothing could get out. Not even the people of Jericho were left with a path of escape. They were trapped, closed until further notice. God's divine strategy for the conquest of Canaan was based on Jericho's geographic location. From Israel's camp at Gilgal, near the Jordan River, they could see steep hills to the west. Jericho controlled the path of ascent into those mountains and Ai. Another fortress stood at the head of the ascent. If the Israelites were to capture the hill country, they certainly had to take Jericho and Ai. This would put them on top of the hill country and in control of the central ridge, a natural fortress between the northern and southern sections of Canaan. Israel could then engage the armies of the north and the south with strategic advantage. But first, Jericho had to fall, and it would if Joshua and the people followed the Lord's plan of action. As we unpack this story, I believe it will help you and me to understand what it takes to overcome the challenges that we are facing in our lives today. There are two camps to consider in this biblical account. There is the camp within and the camp without. First, let us look at the camp within. Jericho never dreamed it would find itself in such a predicament. It was a seat of Canaanite moon worship. With high walls enclosed, it to protect against intruders. In fact, the gates were shut at dusk in keeping with Eastern custom. Jericho was a manufacturer of vessels of silver, gold, iron, and brass cast in the same plain of the Jordan River where Solomon had his foundry. Trade with the East was plentiful, where idol worship was also prevalent. What could possibly happen to such a wealthy city as Jericho? The trouble was that Jericho's moon gods forgot to consult with the one true and living God on the matter of idol worship. If they had, they would have ceased the manufacture of idols and turned into the more promising pursuit of repentance. Now they find themselves cut off from their foundry outside the walls. Their groves of precious palms and fruit were now inaccessible. The Kelt Wadi, or stream that provided precious water to the citizens of Jericho, was beyond their reach. And that is the trouble with people who find themselves shut out from outside stimulus. Their sphere of influence becomes stale and self-centered. A small world can only produce small ideas. New ideas have a hard time planting themselves in the minds of long-standing, fatuous, or unintelligent beliefs. Change requires open-mindedness. The world is full of people who live in their own world of exclusivity. They will not even entertain the idea that there is something or someone bigger than themselves. They view themselves as their own God, moon or otherwise. That is why the word of God falls on their deaf ears. They are a Jericho generation. Nothing gets out and nothing gets in. They are locked in a world of their own, convinced of their own immortality until they find themselves surrounded. Life is great until you are surrounded by grief. Life is great until you are surrounded by poverty. Life is great until you are surrounded by addiction. Life is great until you are surrounded by sickness. Trials and tribulations have a way of getting through the most stubborn of unbelievers. But not Jericho. Jericho, the city within, was surrounded. They were surrounded by a superior nation endued with a power from on high. And it would not be long before they would find it too late to repent. Now let us look at the camp from without. Israel. Your immediate thought is one of superiority. Israel had the upper hand. They had the strategic advantage of being outside the walls of Jericho surrounding the city. The trouble was, all they had was trumpets. And 1,000 trumpets sounded for 10,000 years could not bring down stone walls. God's plan was so outlandish, so strange, so bizarre, that even the most sensible soldier would have thought it ludicrous. But the plan had more to do with obedience than with wartime expertise. The plan was a test, not of Israel's physical fortitude, but of its spiritual fortitude. The plan was extremely specific. 6 successive days, the army marched around the city. The priests bore the Ark of the Covenant in the middle of the army as a symbol of God's presence. Between the front and rear soldiers, 7 priests sounded 7 ram's horns or jubilee trumpets as a sign of God's judgment by the breath of his mouth. They did not know it then, but these are the same 7 trumpets that will usher in judgment in Revelation. Israel marched around Jericho once a day for 6 days, and on the 7th day, God acted. God loves the number 7 because it signifies spiritual perfection. God took 6 days to create the world, light from dark, heaven, earth, seas, plants, and fruits, day and night, morning and evening, animals, birds, fish, and yes, even insects. God then created man in his image on the 6th day, and on the 7th day, God rested. Elijah told the leper Naaman to dip in the Jordan seven times for healing. The Lord's Prayer contains seven petitions. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Jesus healed seven people on the Sabbath or seventh day of the week. The man with a deformed hand. The man possessed with an unclean spirit. Peter's mother-in-law with fever. A woman crippled by an evil spirit. A man with a swelled body. The lame man at the Bethesda pool. And a man born blind. Jesus used seven more metaphors to describe himself. The bread of life, the light of the world, the gate to salvation, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the way, the truth, and the life, and the vine. Jesus uttered seven statements from the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Woman, behold thy son. Son, behold thy mother. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? I thirst. It is finished. Father, into my hands I commend my spirit. The Israelites were commanded to march around Jericho for 7 days. And on the seventh day, with one loud blast, seven priests with trumpets, the walls came tumbling down. There may have been more to it than that. It may not have been the trumpets that shattered the walls and killed all the inhabitants of Jericho. Archaeologists have long discovered proof of ancient volcanic activity in the Judean Valley around Jericho. It may be that God used natural means by his own supernatural will. Regardless of how he did it, the spiritual result was an expression of God's grace to an obedient nation, just like he's done for them before in Egypt, at the Red Sea, in the wilderness, and crossing the Jordan. My brothers and sisters, Christians miss so many victories in their lives because they fail to develop spiritual fortitude through obedience. To obey God is to submit to his will. You cannot remain in control. This is not Burger King. You cannot have it your way. You must relinquish your will and your ways to his will and his ways, and it's called trust. A father used to throw his son up in the air and then catch him. Each time he did it, the boy let out a ruckus laugh. One day he said, "Son, aren't you ever afraid?" The boy then replied, "How silly, Daddy. I know you will always catch me." And that is the kind of trust we must have in God. No matter how disconnected you may feel from his loving arms, no matter what's going on in our lives, the challenges we face, and even this challenge of dealing with COVID-19, you and I should never in our hearts doubt that God is able to keep us from falling. Israel's victory over Jericho was assured when they followed God's plan without question. When they followed God's plan, they overcame the challenges that were before them. They could not see the path to victory, but they trusted in the one true and living God who had brought them this far by faith. My brothers and sisters, it may not have been easy. They may have been afraid, but they obeyed God. They may have felt confused, but they obeyed God. They may have been apprehensive, but they obeyed God. They may have been worried, anxious, and uneasy, and even a bit hesitant, but they obeyed God. They obeyed God because God kept them from falling in Egypt. When the angel of death passed over them, God kept them from drowning in the Red Sea when Pharaoh was hot on their heels. God kept them from starvation in the wilderness when he rained down manna from heaven. And they trusted God would give them the victory at Jericho. God has your victory in his hands. He is ready to bless your obedience with favor. He is ready to catch you and keep you from falling if you will only trust him. Trust God when it seems your life does not matter. Trust God when your bank account is dwindling. Trust God when it seems your dreams have been put on hold. Trust God when it doesn't make sense to trust God. If he can topple the strong kingdom of Jericho overnight, he can keep you and I from falling. If he can slay multitudes with the wave of his hands, he can keep you and I from falling. Trust the one who can turn your casual smile into unspeakable joy. Trust the one who can turn your closed eyes into a sweet hour of prayer. Trust the one who can turn this Sunday sermon into real worship. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. My brothers and sisters, if we trust and obey the will and ways of God, we will overcome life's challenges. We'll get beyond COVID-19. Yes, things might not return to normal, but if we trust God, we can trust in the new normal. God bless you. Maybe there's someone here during this worship experience who does not know Jesus Christ as the Lord and your personal Savior. Yesterday is gone, tomorrow is not promised. Today is the day of salvation. Do not harden your hearts. If you want to be saved, I ask that you would repeat this prayer with me. Dear Lord, I acknowledge that you, Jesus, are the Son of God. I believe that you died on the cross, that your blood was shed for my sins, and that you arose from the grave and conquered death. I understand that I was born a sinner and that I have sinned by disobeying your commandments. I ask you to forgive me for these sins. Please change my heart to be like yours, loving and full of forgiveness. Help me to obey your teachings as recorded in the Bible. Bring people who can help me on this new path. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Thank you for saving me from death and giving me new life. Amen. If you believe this by faith, you are saved.